888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. And my show, The Unsolicited Opinion, can be heard here on AM 1360 WNJC every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth one word at a time on The Unsolicited Opinion here on WNJC 1360. Tired
of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hi, everybody. This is Maggie. How you doing tonight? And welcome to The Unsolicited Opinion. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. If you want to call and get into the conversation I will be having with my guest who will be on shortly, you can call 856-232-7078, or you can call 856-227-1360. So, is everyone all excited and relieved over the results of yesterday's monumental, crushing defeat to the policies of Barack Hussein Obama and his comrades in arms? I'm going to assume most everyone is happy. They should be, because it does speak volumes to exactly what direction the patriotic Americans want this country to be going in, and not off of a cliff into communism, but they want us to... I've got somebody who's talking to me in my ear here, which makes it kind of difficult. There's always something exciting here happening at WNJC 1360. The American people spoke yesterday. They didn't speak in support of Republicans. They spoke out against this democratic regime that is in power, because the American people are not interested in communism. And I don't care about the people who pussyfoot around the truth out there in this country who don't want to call a spade a spade, but I'm not one of those people. I call a spade a spade. And the bottom line is that the Democrats that are in power, they are not the JFK Democrats that are your father's Democrats. They are not those Democrats. The Democrats that are in power, the people like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, and the person who they unfortunately were stupid enough to elect in Connecticut as their senator, those people are not JFK Democrats. I think most of you who believe that they are very wrong, and I think what you need to do is you need to do a little check into history and exactly see who the Democrats were and who these people are, because there's 180 degrees difference between who they were and who these people are. Who these people are, this progressive leftist regime that Barack Hussein Obama leads, those people are leading us into the throes of a fascist regime, a fascist form of government. We're not a republic anymore. For those of you who think we still are, we are on paper, but the actions speak louder than the words that are on the paper that formed this great country, aren't they? The Constitution of the United States has been ignored. The Bill of Rights has been ignored. Look at the Department of Justice. Do you think that the man who's leading the Department of Justice, do you think he's following the Bill of Rights? Do you think he's concerned with fairness? Do you think he's concerned with the rule of law? Do you think he's concerned with equal application of the rule of law? No, I don't think so. It's rather apparent that he isn't, as a matter of fact. It's very apparent that he isn't. the treatment of that whole Black Panthers parade in front of the voting booths or the polls speak volumes to exactly how much Eric Holder, Attorney General Eric Holder, is not interested in upholding the rule of law or equal application of the rule of law to all Americans. Anyway, yesterday spoke volumes to what the American patriots will not put up with. And they're not interested in putting up with that hustle. They're not interested in playing that game. They're not interested in dancing to that tune. So for those of you who think that, hey, this was nothing, it wasn't significant, it was extremely significant. However, there are other things going on here that the American people need to be aware of. And if you're not aware of who the man is who stands behind the curtain on this whole deal, you need to become aware of it, because what my guest is going to be talking about, who will be on the show, we'll bring him on the line shortly, is United Nations Agenda 21, which is also known as Sustainable Development. And that is going on all around the world, and I have devoted the last few weeks of bringing on guests who can speak to that, who are experts, and they have gained enormous sums of knowledge, and they're able to explain what's happening. Agenda 21 is happening right now in your backyard here in the United States of America. And of course, there are those of us who naively thought, well, United Nations has no control over anything we do here in America. We are so wrong when we think that. That's only in theory, but the actual application is an entirely different story. United Nations Agenda 21, which is also known as Sustainable Development, is happening now. That is what is behind the curtain. That is what is controlling all kinds of things here. And it is so difficult to fathom that that is actually what's taking place. But when you have had these, moments over the last, several years, couple of decades or longer, wondering, well, geez, you know, this just doesn't make sense. Does that seem right to you? I know last winter I heard about, I can't remember what state it was in, but in a town where they made this ruling that now it was illegal for you to idle your car for more than 3 minutes. Okay, so now you're 70 years old, it's 25 degrees out, and now you're going to be fined if you're sitting in your car and you're allowing it to run so that you can stay warm. Now that's going to be a problem. You're going to get a fine for that. That doesn't make sense. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Well, there's all kinds of things like that going on all over the country. How about them shutting off the water to the San Joaquin Valley last spring so that they shut off the water to an area the size of Rhode Island? Shut off the water to an area that provides 60% of the tomatoes in this country, the San Joaquin Valley in California, so that they could save a 2-inch fish called the Delta Smelt. Does that make sense to you? Think about it. Does this kind of stuff make sense to you? It is nonsense. No, it makes no sense. Hey, guess what, kids? That's all part of Sustainable Development, United Nations Agenda 21. How about the ranchers who are not allowed to graze their cattle because we need to save the prairie dog? How about 15 years ago, there were over a million ranches in this country. Now there are less than 500,000. How about that? Does that make sense to you? Why in 15 years' time did we lose 500,000 ranches in this country? There is something wrong with this picture. You want to know what's wrong with this picture? Because as far as the United Nations Agenda 21, the globalists, the environmental Nazis are concerned, man is on the bottom of the list, and animals and plants have now been placed on top of the hierarchy of who counts on this planet called Earth. So hopefully my caller or my guest who is going to be on the line in a moment, his name is Don Casey. He has been studying sustainable development for at least the last 18 years. He has an organization that he helped form, keepourrights.org is the website for his organization. And I'm not sure whether we have him. Do you know, do we have him on the line? We have him on the line. Hey, Don, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion, Don. How you doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Well, I'm
like you're wound up.
Yes, I am a little wound up, actually. And so sometimes that happens. Sometimes your blood just starts to boil when you start thinking about all this stuff and you want to spit nails. Tonight, I'm in one of those moods, Don, where I want to spit nails. So what can I say?
Well, we all need to get that way. We all need to get fired up, and once you're emotionally fired up, then you need to simmer down and figure out exactly what you need to do first. And I would say the first thing is to check the local comprehensive plan that's been adopted, and there you will find the tenets of sustainable development. It is a policy statement adopted by your local county commission or city council, and from that policy statement, then they'll begin to implement various tenets that will encroach on your property rights, personal rights, and that's how this will be incrementally enacted on the citizenry of this country.
Well, I'm going to give a definition real quick of sustainable development, because in my rant I didn't do that. And so for people who are just tuning in for the first time, Don, and have no clue what it is we're going to be talking about, sustainable development seeks to end national sovereignty. It is the step-by-step abolition of private property, primarily through the implementation of the Wildlands Project and Smart Growth. It is education of our youth to prepare them for global citizenship. Sustainable development seeks to control and ultimately reduce the human population. The three E's of sustainable development are equity, economy, and environment. So,
yes.
Let's talk about sustainable agriculture. Let's talk about some of the things related to food and agriculture and how we're going to eat and how we're going to feed ourselves and where the food's going to come from and how much we're not going to be able to eat.
Well, equalization of hunger is essentially one of the redistribution of wealth that they're looking at and looking to institute. Food citizenship, there's actually a whole new vocabulary that's coming in with this particular agenda. And by the way, the agenda that we're specifically referring to was signed or endorsed by President Bush, the 41st president, and has been a continuity through both parties. So the hands of the Republicans and Democrats are both as dirty as the other. It makes no difference which party you talk about. They're all pushing this particular agenda.
Well, I think that's one thing, Don, that people need to realize. As happy as many people are yesterday with the outcome of the election, and it certainly was a dramatic achievement for the Republicans, but the bottom line is that Republicans and Democrats have both been equally at fault in carrying out sustainable development. Neither one is immune from this. All of their hands are dirty.
You're absolutely right. So it is absolutely a requirement that if we're going to slow or stop this at the local level, and by the way, that's where it's being implemented most fervently, is to be able to recognize the tenets of sustainable development and meet your county commissioner or your county or your councilman nose to nose and begin to inquire about what's going on. You have to know the vocabulary in order to understand what is being done. Freedom of choice is no longer what the general public would recognize freedom of choice, the definition of it. So when you talk to your planner or your local councilman, very likely he's already been schooled in all of this, and for instance, we're not paying the associated cost or hidden cost, as it were, for the food on your table, because bringing food in from outside of your food shed, you are not paying the associated cost with that. And of course, I'm referring to the depletion of the resources for future generations. For instance, the gallon of gas that it takes to bring the food from outside your food shed to your table is no longer available for future generations to use. So therefore, you have to mitigate or pay that additional cost. The environmental damage done by burning that gasoline has to be paid. all of these costs now have to be identified and then rolled into the value of the food that you're putting on your table. Locavore is one particular word that's been generated or created to help ease the pain of this. In other words, a person, as a matter of fact, I met a college student here just recently, and I was talking about locavores. I had no idea that the individual had already dedicated himself to being a locavore, and it's merely a person that agrees to eat food that is grown within a specific area of his food shed. Within his food shed, generally it's 100 miles. And one of the magazines that I quote and talk about that has had articles about this, on the front cover has a bicycle that is used to ride out into the farmlands and gather the food for this individual. Of course, if he used a gasoline engine on some kind of moped or motorcycle in order to gather his food, he has associated cost that he's not paying to gather that food for his table.
Okay. So the food shed is then the local area that you're going to be, your food is going to be grown in, where you, how you're going to get your food. That shed is a defined geographic area. And isn't that like 100 miles, within a 100-mile radius of where you're living? So whether or not you're going to be eating that food is all dependent upon whether or not it's going to be grown in here?
Generally speaking, that's true. In some cases, it may be 50 miles, but generally it's a 100-mile area. Now, the food policy councils that are being created, and all you have to do is to verify all of what we're talking about, is just to take the phrase and put it in parentheses and type it into any Internet search engine, and you'll wind up with the definition or discussion about these particular issues. The Food Policy Council, for instance, for Seattle, says that everything associated with planting the seed in the ground, putting the seed in the ground, growing and harvesting that, and then transmitting it to your, or conveying it, transporting it to your table, has to be socially, economically, and environmentally just. So it's not just protecting the environment. It is social justice that is associated with everything that is on your table and is consumed by you. So you will see farms that do not grow crops organically, that's not certified, they will be squeezed out of the market. This is sold as a way of protecting the local farmers, when in fact it's going to squeeze out the local farmer because he cannot afford to follow all of the BMP's best management practices in order to maintain the status of a farm.
Well, already when you go into some of the food stores, like Whole Foods, that supposedly sells this organic stuff, already the price of food is, I don't know, I'm going to say it's at least probably somewhere between 40 and 50% more, if not higher, for any product that you buy in there. Costs you a lot more in there. Now, I doubt, I'm sure all of the products they sell aren't grown within a 100-mile radius of the location of the store. Obviously not. But, you know, already you can see where the price associated with paying for these different things, it's much more expensive.
You're absolutely right. This is when you hear Obama talk about a transformation of society, this is exactly what he's talking about, because as the dollar continues to fall and is on the verge of dropping off into the abyss, we will have the desire to maintain the wealth that we have created. I'm 64 years old, and I certainly want to hold on to as much wealth as I have accumulated in my life. I want to be comfortable in my golden years, as they say. So in order to do that now, some of the things that are being sold in order to maintain that wealth is a local currency. So as the dollar falls, you'll see demands on our systems that are crop up at the local level, and they'll offer a local currency. It's the same thing as I remember as a child growing up in the steel industry and coal industry, where they issued script by the company, and of course the script was only good in the local store.
Well,
currency will be the same way. So there are already on the drawing board and in the implementation stages, and what I just talked to you about was a good example of that is Hole-in-Wall, Tennessee, in Lewis County has already gone through this. They're actually in the using permaculture, which is just merely the bringing together of two words, permanent agriculture, and they're specifically stating that as a county and city, they want to be permanently an agricultural community, and they've already gone through a three-month trial period of issuing a local currency. So it, just as soon as the dollar continues to fall, you'll see more and more of these local currencies pop up.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about script that the coal mines used to issue to their workers, it was really an enslavement in actuality, because the cost of the goods at the coal mining stores, the company store, was always much higher than it would have been somewhere else, but they had the coal miners were stuck.
Right.
They had
absolutely.
No. They were slaves to the coal mine operators, essentially, and that's exactly what's going to happen with the American people. The value of the dollar, let's face it, they are intentionally destroying the value of the dollar, and it's an intentional thing.
You're absolutely
because
right.
they want to hasten their game plan of social justice, and everyone will share equally in the misery, and the faster that they can make this happen, the happier they will be. And so everything that's going on, it's so hard for people to separate the election yesterday. They think, oh, it was just this miraculous thing. It's so hard for the people to step back out of the dialectic and see that a lot of the things that we're observing, Don, are intentionally being created, or they are being exacerbated with the sole goal. The end game is the destruction of the dollar, the destruction of this economy, to move us into a new world order and a global system of government. They have to
Have you explained what governance is?
No, let's talk about governance, because that was when I've been watching some of the videos that you've done. Governance is not what anybody, what you would typically think is the definition of governance that we would be or have been led to believe it means. It doesn't mean that anymore. Everything we're dealing with here is like George Orwell's doublespeak. It's all Orwellian. Dark is now light and light is now dark. Nothing means what it, by Webster's definition, is supposed to mean anymore.
And you're absolutely right. And the definition, just a loose off the top of my head definition, is the set of rules and regulations that govern the behavior of individuals, organizations, and businesses. So you can see by using, and as a matter of fact, that particular word was used, I think, 9 times in one of the comprehensive plans for a very rural county here in Alabama. And in their comprehensive plan, they actually had the three circles. The most recognized logo for sustainable development is three circles, each circle representing one aspect of sustainable development, social, economic, and environmental. And they actually had that particular logo in their comprehensive plan, and then they said that we anticipate when we obtain governance in this county, we'll be able to do all of the specific things that they had laid out. And of course, for instance, Coleman County, regulating free speech was one of the things that is stated that they have the power and authority to do under this new system.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Don, listen, we're going to go to a break in a second. It'll be a couple-minute break, and then we will be back. My guest is Don Casey. He is the founder of KeepOurRights.org. We are talking about sustainable development, which is United Nations Agenda 21. For those of you who are just tuning in, and if you want to join the conversation, 856-232-7078 or 856-227-1360. We will be back in about 2 minutes, so everybody hang on.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-221-9442 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-221-9442. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-221-9442. That's 800-221-9442. Again, 800-221-9442.
These days, we all need to save money where we can. As your car gets older, it will have mechanical problems. Don't get caught with a $2,000 or even $5,000 repair bill. If your factory warranty is about to expire, or you have no warranty coverage at all, an extended vehicle protection plan can save you thousands. We pay for 100% of your covered repairs, and we pay the dealer or your preferred mechanic directly for you. No more hassle with reimbursements. The number to call is 800-837-7554. There is no one-size-fits-all to vehicle protection plans. At A-Plus Auto Protection, we work with BVB-rated providers to offer a full menu of plans ranging from platinum coverage to basic plans that cover the most costly engine and transmission repairs. We do the comparison shopping for you, so you save money with our discounts. For a limited time, also receive roadside assistance, towing, and rentals, but you must call now. Call 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554. 800-837-7554.
And all plans available in all states for all vehicles.
Two,
buddy, we're back, and we are speaking with Don Casey, who is the founder of KeepOurRights.org, and we are speaking tonight about sustainable development, also known as United Nations Agenda 21, the Great Plan for Global Enslavement. And Don, I wanted to play Alabama for you, because Leonard Skinner, Alabama, because, well, for obvious reasons, you're an Alabama man.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, where'd we leave off? What were we talking about of the wonderful evil things these people are planning,
well,
and scheming?
We, you know, a lot of times people that have looked into this particular issue say, oh, well, the United Nations, you know, they're not a powerful organization and they can't do that. Well, it's true. The United Nations is a very weak organization. It is the United States that has committed to this and committed to making the United Nations into a new organization that will have taxing power and have police powers. The cap and trade that is being talked of right now is one of three treaties that is included in Agenda 21. It has not been fully ratified, but of course that doesn't make any difference. The legislature or legislation is going through Congress right now. And there are over 200 communities, county and local governments, that have already adopted either full-blown Agenda 21 programs or partial Agenda 21 programs, and some of them already have cap and trade at the local level. So when you say that the United Nations does not have the authority, that's true, they do not have, but look out, because it's coming in the back door at the local level.
Right. Right. See, so many, all of this stuff is backdoor stuff. You know, people just are not aware of this. And I know when we were having a conversation the other day and I asked you on a scale of 0 to 100, and you've been following this for 18 years. And I said, where do you think we're at in terms of an awareness of the public from a scale of 0 to 100? And you said 2. And this is 18 years later from your initial recognition of this. That's incredibly depressing.
Yes, and if you type in LA21, stands for Local Agenda 21, in any of the English-speaking countries, England, Australia, New Zealand, you will find numerous hits that deal with Local Agenda 21 being enacted, and they even have councils that are set up just to oversee the implementation process. In the United States, we don't have that. So we have incorporated various other things, such as smart growth. That is one key phrase that when you hear it, it is Agenda 21. As a matter of fact, the lead planner for Washington, I can't remember whether it's Oregon or Washington, was a delegate at one of the United Nations councils, and in a speech not too many years back, he said that people, if they knew it was associated with Agenda 21, would actually fight against it and work to defeat elected officials that were enacting it. So they decided to not call it Local Agenda 21, not associate it with United Nations. They would just write it into the comprehensive plans and train the planners in the implementation of it. And we just wake up in a new world. And
exactly.
That's essentially what is happening.
Exactly. Well, when I first, and I don't know if I mentioned this the other day when I was speaking with you, but I first heard about this about a month ago, and it just blew me away when I came upon this, and I stumbled upon it, and I say this every time I'm on the air. I was talking to someone from the United Kingdom who had said the word communitarian to me, and I said, well, I don't know what that means. I never heard that word before. What does it mean? And he said, well, we know all about it here in the European Union. You need to look it up. I can guarantee you it's happening in America too. And so I started to look it up, and it was just a mind blower, because all of the fights that we've been having all these decades and arguing amongst ourselves and between each other, and left versus right, and black versus white, and white versus black, and illegal immigration, and the bank bailout, and Wall Street, and all this other stuff that we have been focusing on is all really, of course, those are all important issues, but they're all designed and intentionally being orchestrated as a distraction so they can enact this stuff to enslave all of us.
You're right. You're right. And it's talked throughout. I've watched commercials dealing with sustainable development from technical colleges. All you have to do is type in sustainable development in any university that you want to, and you will wind up with courses that are teaching this to the young adults coming out of college. So, you know, folks in my age bracket who learn some of the tenets of a free society, and I certainly didn't learn very many and wasn't taught very many, because by the time I had come through the government school system, most of that had already been washed out.
Yeah.
But now, things like the precautionary principle, where you're guilty of some environmental injustice before you ever take the action, merely because you exist, is the norm. You know, we were taught that we're innocent until proven guilty. Here now is Principle 15 of Agenda 21 that says that you don't have to have proof to accuse someone of being guilty.
Yeah,
of course, the person would have to prove that they're innocent under these auspices. It's much like England, you know, where you go before the crown and you're automatically guilty. You have to prove you're innocent.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was reading something, and I'm trying to strategize, and my friend and I, who have, you know, I discovered this, and I told her about it, and, you know, her mind was blown too, and so we're trying to think of different ways, because we've been fighting illegal immigration, that stuff, together for several years, you know, trying to strategize different ways. How can we alert people to this? What's the best way to approach this group or that group? And I was thinking about something I read the other day where they said that a German Shepherd has the same carbon footprint as driving a sport utility vehicle for a year, so you should eat your dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
and it's no joke. I mean,
I
they
know
really
it's no joke.
Yeah. You know, that people laughed at Hitler in the 30s, you know, in 20s. They said, oh, he'll never go anywhere. Well, you continue to laugh at this, and they continue to graduate people that are schooled in this kind of ideology. And you'll wake up exactly where, behind the eight ball, where they want you to.
Well, you know, the other day I was watching Bill Gates, who was giving a speech in front of an organization, and the acronym is TED, T-E-D, and I can't remember, and I don't have it written down in front of me, unfortunately. He was giving this speech, and he was talking about how if they worked, oh, it was the Technology, Entertainment, and Design group, which is, of course, an invitation only for the so-called thinkers and the doers to get together. And in his speech, what he was saying was that if we worked really hard, with vaccines, new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower the world's population by perhaps 10 to 15%. Now, my background in education is healthcare. And so my idea of a vaccine has always been to prevent disease or death. And so I question, what exactly do they plan on doing with the vaccines and our health care and our reproductive services so they can kill off 10 to 15% of us?
Well, of course, I don't know. I can't answer that question. All I can say is that production and consumption globally has to be reduced. And that the most egregious individual on this planet is the United States citizen, because he consumes too much of the world's resources. So we are the culprit that has to reduce our consumption and production of all goods and services. And certainly we have too many people that use all of these resources. So whatever means is available, and I don't have any idea of, you know, the scope and breadth of that. That's up to the people that believe this in this ideology and want to implement it. So I leave that for other people to decide what, you know, they want to label as being, you know, the most sinister aspects of this thing.
Let me ask you another. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about urban growth boundaries. Let's give my audience a little insight into exactly what the urban growth boundary means.
Well, an urban growth boundary is exactly that. It is a boundary around the urban center beyond which, and this is a definition that came out of the publication from the state of Minnesota, modern services such as utilities, gas, water, and electricity, roads, other transportation will not go. It is a restrictive definition. Now you will see utility service area. So the language kind of changes as it's needed.
Well, George Orwell in 1984, all the language changed there too. Freedom was slavery, and war is now peace in Orwell's 1984. So that's the same thing here. Utility service area sounds like some benign thing, like some meaningless thing that doesn't actually have the power of the fact that beyond a certain line, there will be no more utilities or services provided.
So land beyond the urban growth boundary, since you can't get modern conveniences, is essentially worthless. Nobody wants to buy property that you can't buy beyond that boundary or can't get services beyond the boundary. So the land on the outside becomes worthless. The land on the inside the value of it goes through the roof because there is a shortage of real estate created through local ordinances. Now, usually this is sold, or how it's sold is we're going to protect the farmlands. The farmlands are pristine, and we want to make sure that we maintain those farmlands. And that's how the urban growth boundary is generally sold. For instance, where it's already been enacted for a number of years, create a situation where a house was sold for $150,000, was built in the 50s, a quite comfortable house on maybe a 150 by 200 lot.
Right.
And the house was torn down. It sold for $150,000. The very next day they tore it down and put 5 16-foot wide houses where that one house was, because there is a shortage of property.
Right.
And of course the city says, well, we want to be able to provide you with modern utilities at an economical rate. We don't want to go 200 yards off the road and provide you, I mean, two miles off the road and provide you with electricity.
Right.
So let's have infill now. If we find a vacant lot, let's go ahead and put a small house in there so that we can provide you with utilities. And it's merely doing away with private property rights. Now, the man that can't sell his property on the outside of the urban growth boundary, they have what is called transferable development rights. In other words, they're recognizing his unalienable rights to his property, and they're placating that. They're saying, we will allow you so many credits, development credits, for your property, and you can sell that to someone on the inside of the urban growth boundary, and he can use that as a density bonus certificate. And where he was only allowed to, say, have one house per lot, now he can put apartments on that and raise the density. So they are doing everything they can. They being the American Planning Association is behind this. It's really any organization, any elected official that is in agreement with it or implementing it. When I talk about they, so a lot of times they'll say, "Oh, you're just conspiracy minded," but no, I'm specifically referring to planners, the American Planning Association, to be specific. Who have received grants from the federal government to help institute smart growth. They are just one of the big organizations that are helping to push this and implement it. And then of course, the elected officials that either go along or they buy into it because of some profit motive.
Sure.
Or ideological.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of gives you, I don't know exactly where you might want to go next to try to bring this forward for people that are unfamiliar with it. So,
well, Don, we're going to go to another break here, and then we'll be another minute or so, and then we'll be back. So just hold on, everybody. We're speaking with Don Casey from KeepOurRights.org. We are talking about sustainable development, your future that looks very grim if this is not stopped. So hang on, everybody. We will be right back. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion.
Listeners, here's a simple way to earn quit your job money from home. IncomeAtHome34.com has come to us for listeners who want to work from home.
I have to tell you, it's the best decision that I ever made because we replaced my income and my husband's income. This business has allowed us to quit our jobs, and we're both at home full-time and loving it. Best decision I ever made.
They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. Visit IncomeAtHome34.com. That's IncomeATHome34.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom225.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom225.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 225.com. Freedom225.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
What would a $3,000 car repair bill do to your budget? A vehicle protection plan from Five Star Auto Protection can save you thousands in repairs. Your auto insurance won't cover a $3,000 transmission repair, but we will if your car has less than 130,000 miles. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we can help eliminate costly car repair bills. Call us now. Call 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388. 888-449-7388.
Plans unavailable in all states for all vehicles. See agreement for complete terms.
Hey, everybody, we're back. This is Maggie. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion, and we are speaking with Don Casey, who is the co-founder of KeepOurRights.org, and we are talking about sustainable development, which is United Nations Agenda 21. Don, do we have you?
Yes.
Okay, great. We were talking about, oh, well, there's so much to talk about here. It's just, there's 25,000 ping pong balls in the air with a sustainable development to keep track of all these different aspects of it. But suffice to say that it controls every single aspect of your life from birth to death. If you are, of course, allowed to even be born, I guess you could really say, and what you'll eat, where you'll live, what you'll do for a living, where you'll work, there isn't an aspect of your existence that they will not be in control of.
That's true. It is a system that is being a system of governance, not government, that will regulate all of the things that you just listed.
You know, I was reading something about the social health aspect. Let's talk about if you have dirty dishes on your kitchen counter.
Right. I can't remember the community. It's in the video that I did on Pop Modal, which is a Christmas Grimm, and in the middle of this 10-minute video, there is a newscast in California where they have the code enforcement officer doing an in-house inspection, and they show a cluttered kitchen countertop, and the announcer says this is an untenable situation. In other words, there is a violation that the code enforcement officer is bound by law to give a code violation to the owner of the house. And then it shows a shower stall that is dirty, has mold growing in it. That's also untenable. And then the code enforcement worker woman comes on and says, well, what happens to children that are raised in this situation? We, being the code enforcement, may have to remove that child from this home because obviously we can't tolerate this new utopia that we're building.
Yeah,
they also make the point that if you have a code enforcement violation, that will lead to major crime. So they want to nip all the crime in the bud, so to speak. And it's quite unbelievable.
And, you know, honestly, it is. Dirty dishes now makes you have your face on the 10 most wanted poster in the post office, right? I mean, this is just absolutely nonsense. Listen, Don, we've got a caller, so let's take this call. And we only have a few more minutes, so we'll take this call, and then we'll go on from there. Okay, Don?
All right.
Hey, hi, Ruth. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Maggie?
Good. What's your question?
I had a quick question that when you were talking about food, it came up on my mind the other day, and I wondered if Don could address it. This thing we see about fair trade, they push that a lot in, like, Whole Foods, and you can buy products that have pictures of, you know, African villagers on them, and it's supposed to make you feel good. It's a fair trade product. Can you talk about... I think this figures into the whole picture, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. It pictures into the local organic certification because the system is being built in order to accept certain farmers. And by the way, when you purchase that product, you're taking the word of the company that's selling it, that in fact the practices that they say they are doing is in reality they're doing it, and you have no idea. You have no proof. It's more of a feel-good emotional situation of purchasing this. You know, we're doing something for the earth, for mankind, when in fact you don't know that. But at the local level, where these sustainable agricultural networks are being created, and here in Alabama we already have three of them, and they have a annual food summit that they have. They're building a coalition. They are funded by the federal government. They're 990 forms are on the internet, so you can go look these organizations up and you'll know that they're being funded by federal governments, in some cases by foundations. At any rate, they're building a coalition. They will go to the state legislature and ask for organic certification of food. That will be the first step in order to squeeze out the local farmers, family farmers, that are not able to produce food organically. And it will be stringent requirements in order to fulfill that. The only companies or farms that are able to fulfill this criteria will be the major corporations that have money to dump into the system and maintain all of the new regulations, and there'll be continual regulations. I know spreading a fertilizer here in the state of Alabama, you have to be certified. If you do lawn care in Florida, you'll have to be certified next year in order to spread fertilizer. Fertilizer has been defined by the USDA as a pollutant. Eventually, you will have to be certified in order to spread fertilizer on your lawn.
Wow. Well, you know, how many people are not going to be able to do this? Therefore, all of the people, like these farmers, they're not going to be able to keep up with all of these outrageous codes and rules that they put into place. So they'll be dropping like flies, which, of course, will increase the scarcity of food. Therefore, it'll, of course, increase the price of food. And it's just a snowball effect. Everything that they're doing is just going
to
snowball.
It seems to me that what they're saying, Don, is that these compliance farms that are farming organically are being propped up by federal subsidies. So that's how the other farms cannot compete.
Well, in some cases, that's very true. And in the beginning of this, you'll see lots of farms that will get on this bandwagon, family farms in particular, that have bought into this ideologically and think that it's a way in order for them to save their family farm, when in fact it's the exact opposite. It is to do away with the family farm. We have a brochure on our website that talks about sustainable agriculture and all of the things that are. We start out with a list of questions of how this is so wonderful, and then we take each one of the questions and we go to the USDA and we look up the definition of what is being referred to and go through it. And by the end of it, you know exactly where sustainable agriculture is leading. And as a matter of fact, I had some calls from family farmers that, you know, were supporting organic food certification and other legislative ventures that were going on. And they were quite upset because here was another viewpoint of this. I talked to a master gardener that was educated at the University of Florida just a couple of months ago, and she said, oh, my goodness, she said, I bought into permaculture. I've been studying it, and all of a sudden I see what is going on and where it's leading, and she was quite dumbfounded by the fact that this was not what it was being sold as. It is a system to keep you within the urban growth boundary and basically hungry.
Keep you confined, right. Exactly.
Well, can you also address the term no-till? Because I'm seeing some of these farms that are being convinced to participate in farmland preservation, and they do the TDR, the Transfer Development Rights. It seems like one of the things they're going to have happen to that farm at some point in the future, maybe it's in the fine print, is they're going to deem it a no-till land. Is that true?
That's true. I mean, it will. What will be required to be organic will be no-till, and there'll be a long list. No fertilizer that is not composted. No, and the compost has to go through specific steps. For instance, I know farmers that are in the chicken business, and they have to store their chicken litter in a specific area. And it has to be certified, and of course all that costs money, and these people are hard pressed to make a living in the chicken industry now as it is.
Sure.
And it will just filter over into all the other crop farming and cattle farming and everything else, and it literally is going to squeeze out so many people that it won't be long, and the food prices will naturally have to go up in order to maintain status quo. And of course that status quo is continually the objective here is not to produce more, it's to produce less.
Exactly.
And in order to consume less, we want the price to go up. So
how can we convince people, like if we go to these meetings, I'm starting to go to a lot of local meetings, and they're every meeting they're talking about preserving farmland or preserving open space. What can we do as citizens at these meetings to start to put a monkey wrench in their plans?
Well, Don, let me interrupt for a second here. We've only got a couple more minutes, so Ruth, we're going to leave that as the last question.
Okay.
And Don, answer that question if you could real quick.
Okay. I've got a longer explanation, but take literature with you and work into a discussion with the facilitator and make sure that you know the facilitator is on the wrong side of this issue. So your objective is to educate the audience, and you need to ask leading questions that will lead to the point that the audience will begin to understand, well, this is not too good. I've got to produce only organic food. If I don't produce organic food, do I have a market? Right. And those kind of questions that will lead the audience to these logical conclusions is your best avenue to educate that audience. Now, if you have another person that's with you, try to find, let that person then go and observe who is interested and let him contact that person and ask them if they're interested in learning more. We have an education problem right now that we're facing. And it's unfortunate that most of the people have already bought into this by the time they get to these meetings, but that's really the only way I know of that we've been successful at all, is to identify those people that would say, oh, well, now, gee, if I'm not organic, do I have a market? And if you see that surprise look on that individual, then you have a chance at opening their eyes further and giving them further and additional information.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Ruth. Don, I have the website for you, keepourrights.org. Is there another website that would work for you?
Yeah, that's the primary one. If you want to go to the upper left-hand corner on that website, look for audio and video page. And on that page, then we have numerous presentations that we've made over the past year, several years, that we put up there. Brevard County and Ocala County was just recently, June and July of this year, and it's a pretty good presentation that gets into the use of electricity and smart growth and smart meter. We haven't even talked about electrical consumption because that's another thing that has to be reduced, and the smart meter is part of that system.
Okay. Listen, Don, I've got about a minute left. My guest tonight has been Don Casey. His website is keepourrights.org. Don, I'm going to have you back on again in a week or so if you're available, and we can continue this discussion and talk about electricity and all the other evil things these people have schemed and dreamt up to enslave us. As always, thank you very much, Don, for coming on my show tonight. I appreciate it very much. We'll have you on again, everybody. I always like to go to Oz at the end of the show because somewhere over the rainbow is a wonderful place to be. I will be back on Friday at 5 p.m. and on Sundays at noon. You can hear me on micro1650am.com. Please, everybody, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, a podcast of this radio show, and a link to Don Casey's website, keepourrights.org, will be up there shortly. Hey, everybody, keep your chin up because better days are coming. The more of us that wake up, the greater chance we have of success. God bless you. Take care, everybody.
Beyond the rain, sun.